I'm Sunny Kane, and you're listening to the next Faith-Filled Step right here on Pilgrim Radio. Each week, we'll explore simple, practical ways to respond to God's Word in our everyday lives. Let's choose wisdom over willpower, purpose over pressure, and take the next faith-filled step together. One day, one moment, one decision at a time. Well, we're back for another week right here on the next Faith-Filled Step. And my prayer always is in our time together that you will walk away encouraged. But more than that, that it won't be just something that you listen into the program, feel like you're not alone in this world, and then walk away inspired and do nothing with it. Our prayer is always as together we remember we are pilgrims on a journey. This world is not our home, and the world is hard. Jesus actually told us in this world we would have trouble, but to fear not, he had overcome the world. And in his word, he gives us practical guidance for how to live our everyday lives, no matter what we are facing. And I realize, I don't know what you're facing right now, but God does, whether it is chronic illness, or maybe it's financial struggle. Maybe you've got anxiety or depression. Maybe you're dealing with a loss in your life. Whatever it is, God knows. And his word has something to say about it. He cares about our journeys. And now, what I want to talk about today, see, if we're honest, some of the hardest terrain that we will walk on this journey, it's between us. See, relationships, they shape the quality of our lives, and our conversations, they shape the quality of our relationships. And yet, so many of us avoid the very conversations that could bring healing and clarity and growth. And so today, I want to talk about it. Healthier relationships and better conversations, and what it looks like to take one faith-filled step toward courage and connection instead of silence and distance. And I've invited my friend Tammy Clawton to join us. And I think you are going to so value what God has placed inside of her. Tammy is a nonprofit founder. She leads an organization called the Porch Movement. And while it's not a Christian organization, it carries the heartbeat of Jesus in that going and loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, she's also a faith-based coach, a mentor, and I would say a spiritual guide. She knows community is vital to our health and well-being, and she is passionate about creating safe and authentic spaces for people to build community and to courageously connect with God, self, and others. And also, Tammy loves people and spending time with her husband, her kids, and her grandkids, especially in God's beautiful creation. So with that, here's my conversation with Tammy Clawton. Well, Tammy, I am so looking forward to this conversation today, and I want to welcome you to the next faith-filled step.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this conversation as well. This is something I'm super passionate about, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, I think this is one of those topics where it's going to reach into the life of every single person, because honestly, healthy relationships, they have everything to do with us learning how to navigate this life as pilgrims on a journey. And who couldn't use more health or better conversations in their life? I don't really know.
For sure. I don't know either. I'm like, it's the foundation of relationships, period.
100%. Well, before we go there, I'm curious about something that tells me a lot about a person, and that's how they know God. And you know, there is a difference between knowing about God and knowing him by name. So I'd love to hear what name of God or aspect of who he is most resonates with you.
Oh goodness, the one that comes first to my lips is Redeemer. He has redeemed so many things in my life, from my actions, other people's actions in my life, and how it broke things down and caused me to have, you know, lots of struggles. But he has just redeemed so much of that. And so for me, the name that resonates deepest is Redeemer.
And I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but was there a season or a moment that that name really came alive for you?
Yeah, for sure. When I was 17, that is what I call my no turning back time. And I was really walking out a pretty crazy life at that time. And I had really messed up in a lot of ways. And I was also super angry with God because of things that had happened to me. And he really pursued me, got a hold of me, And that is when he really began to redeem things that were stolen from me and things that I had done to myself and my reputation because I had totally messed it up.
Well, thanks for allowing me to kind of put you on the spot there. I know it's not necessarily the conversation we came to have, but I always think it's so telling about a person, you know, the waters that we've walked with God and the way that we know him, his character. It just, it has a way of speaking about who you are and who God is to you in a way that other questions might not. So,
yeah.
Well, we're here today to talk about healthy relationships and better conversations. And for those listening, I have known Tammy for years. We worked at a church together for nearly 20 years. She's one of my dearest friends. And when I thought about today's topic, I thought of you, Tammy, because you have helped me to practically apply what we're going to talk about today. But I have witnessed you do this in the lives of countless others. I would say this is a sweet spot for you. I have seen you work with people offering spiritual guidance as a coach, as a mentor, and in ministry care as a biblical counselor. So when we talk about health in a relationship, I'm curious what you would say. What does that actually look like?
Oh, goodness. For me, when I think of health in relationships, I think of 1 Corinthians 13. And I know that might be like a typical thing for people to look at, but the love chapter, right? It gives us lots of clues because in our culture today, I think we can all agree that we're pretty divided and we have kind of lost the ability to listen to each other, to show mutual respect and all of those kinds of things. And 1 Corinthians 13 talks about some key elements in there that are so important to a healthy relationship. One is that we listen to each other, that we consider others more important than ourselves, that we show respect, that we are not rude. We don't like interrupt people and we listen before we have an answer. And then there's also just things like we're loving and compassionate and kind and truthful.
And so, we keep a record of wrongs. That comes into my mind.
Yeah, for sure. Those are key elements to a healthy relationship. And wouldn't all of us really love to have a relationship that is honest and trustworthy and full of respect and love and kindness and empathy and compassion? I think all of us want that kind of relationship.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, for some listening, it might feel like a very high bar when they look at the landscape of their own relationships or even to themselves as a part of that relationship. So
sure.
I'd love to hear you talk about what quietly erodes the health of a relationship over time or what gets in the way.
There are so many things, but one of those things is when we actually don't have the conversations that we need to have. We don't speak some of the truth that we actually need to speak, and it just kind of stacks up and builds up and erodes trust. And another thing would be that we fail to cultivate a safe environment where we can have uncomfortable or hard conversations. And so it quietly is eroding that trust and that safety. And man, there's just so many things. I'm going to tell you from my own life.
Yeah.
So I tend toward, believe it or not, towards anger, but I was kind of raised by it. And so it is part of who I have had to deal with, you know, and I say it that way on purpose because I have had to learn to manage it. But along with that, you can keep records of wrong and quietly build resentment or distrust for someone if we don't speak up and we don't talk to certain issues. And I'm also can be a caretaker of people. I don't want to make them uncomfortable and all that kind of stuff. So I have erred on the side of grace, but then that also sometimes has led to resentment. And so I have had to learn to balance grace and truth.
It's interesting because I would say someone listening probably goes, what's wrong with erring on the side of grace? And yet you paired those with also having an issue with anger at some times. And if I understood you correctly, that anger is something that builds when you're erring on the side of grace and not having. So what does it look like in your mind to just give us a clearer picture of that? What do you mean by erring on the side of grace in terms of that being a problem?
Okay, so sometimes, especially women do this a lot, but we all do it. But women really tend to do this because we're like, oh, well, I'm going to let that slide. That's not worth talking about. I'm just going to have grace. So let's say somebody says something rude, whether it's our girlfriend or our spouse or whatever, we do like, oh, well, that felt really mean. That hurt. And we go, oh, but I'm not going to bring it up. It's just, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to move on. And sometimes we actually need to address it if we want a healthier, stronger relationship. It's like, whoa, that hurt. And can we talk about this?
So, because if we don't, let's say we do not have the conversation and you say it is to one's glory to overlook an offense, or I'm going to err on the side of grace. I just got hurt. I decide to overlook it. Talk to us about the danger of what's happening there.
Okay. First, I'm going to give a little warning. Sometimes we can be easily offended, right? And so there is that piece of it, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that we are deeply offended. We're wounded and we suck it up in the name of being Christ-like. And Jesus actually spoke to hard things because he loved people. And so that idea of quietly dealing with it when your relationship is at stake, the health of your relationship is at stake, especially if you start building that resentful or you want to put distance between you and whoever because you haven't addressed that thing. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. And it seems,
does that make sense?
Yeah. And it seems to me like it's a short line between the grace we say we're having and suddenly building the resentment, right? Yeah. It's hard to see where that line is.
Sometimes,
So Tammy, whether it's a spouse, a friend, a coworker, a boss, even our adult children, at some point, health in a relationship requires us to have conversations. So why do we avoid the ones that matter most?
First of all, I think that we're afraid they're going to go badly. And sometimes we have a history of them going bad, right? And so we're like, I'm out. I'm not going to try this again because it's like touching a hot stove, you know? Like, I don't want to do that again. And then other times it is fear of rejection, fear of losing a relationship, losing a job, losing a promotion, any of those kinds of things. And so there is that gut level fear. And some of us, honestly, we don't know how to have these kinds of conversations.
Yeah. Oh, and that we overthink the words to have in them so much to the point our overthinking lasts so long. We forget that we even need to have a conversation because we thought about it for so long.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. And sometimes we're avoiding them because we're bringing a history with us, not even this personal conversation that we're having right in front of us, but we're bringing our history from our past. And you're like, those didn't go well. And so we just have that fear and dread of, oh no, what if these don't go well? Right?
Yeah.
Because we're bringing all that history. We have a mutual friend who always said, are you fighting someone who's not in the room? You know, and we can do that a lot of times.
It leads me to wonder, do you feel like, is there something that we're trying to protect by avoiding the conversations?
Mm. Well, the obvious answer would be our hearts, right? But sometimes it's our reputation as well.
Ooh.
We want to be known as a, you know, caring, loving, honest person. But when we're trying to protect our hearts, it's probably that fear of rejection, that fear of, you know, losing whatever the case may be.
When you mentioned the protect the reputation, I can think when I'm avoiding a hard conversation, it is sometimes connected to that. You know, I would think of it as people pleasing, but the way that you said it is, I'm protecting their image of me is what I want them to think, which is, you know, another conversation for another day of manipulating my image. But we won't go there today. Oh, goodness. So what is at stake when we choose silence over honesty and engaging these conversations? And what does unresolved tension do over time to us in our relationship?
The thing that's at stake when we don't have those conversations is a growing, healthy relationship. And eventually what can happen is that relationship erodes, trust erodes, and then you create distance, right? And we can do this with people. We can even do this in our relationship with God, because we're not talking to Him about the things that are critical to our hearts. And so that erosion is a natural drift. All of us have a tendency to go there. And so it's intentional effort that we have to put into building stronger, healthier relationships.
I love that you mentioned God there, because I think when we say, I want healthier relationships and better conversations, I wonder how many of us only went to human relationships. And yet what you're saying there about God is so profound. I'd love to hear you talk on that just a little bit as a sidebar to where we're really going today. How does that avoidance with God, like, paint a picture of what you meant there?
The best picture that I have used over all the years is when we don't address things with God, it's like you're putting a brick in a wall. So you have this important thing, and you put this brick and that brick and this brick and that brick. And pretty soon you have this wall erected and you're saying, I can't hear from God. I no longer hear His voice. Well, yeah, you don't, because you have a wall. Mm-hmm. That you have put up between the two of you, because you're not talking about the real things.
Ooh. And we build that wall with people too, right? Our relationship, yep. Yep. It turns out it's multi-directional, these yes. conversations.
Yes.
Do you think sometimes we use scripture to further perpetuate our cycle of avoiding hard conversations?
Yeah, I think we do. Some of the scriptures that we tend to use are the one that you used earlier, that it's good to forgive an offense. Another one would be, well, love covers over a multitude of sins, right? And then...
Turn the other cheek.
Right. Yes, for sure. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them that we use. But mm-hmm. those are some classic ones, for sure.
Yeah, it's spiritual bypassing our fear in the,
yes,
in the
absolutely.
Midst of it. All right, well, let's talk about having better conversations. My mind goes to, is there anything that we should be thinking about, or what might be missing? Lead us into these conversations, Tammy.
Well, I think that there's a few key things that are missing, actually. And we have lost our curiosity. Our culture has become so unsafe to have deep, meaningful conversations in so many realms. And so I say we've lost the curiosity, like, what do they think? What do they feel about this? And we've lost the ability to go after understanding someone's heart, someone's mind, and we're desperate to be understood. So we want that desperately. And so a lot of times we're talking, hoping that we're going to be understood. But a lot of times the way relationships develop is when we share what we believe, what we think, what we feel in an authentic way. And we also want to hear that back from other people. And when we get off track in a certain part of the conversation or whatever, if we had that curiosity, if we had that desire to really understand, we'd say, like, what made them say that? What must they be feeling? What must they be thinking that would cause them to say that? A lot of times too, just that looking for common ground. What do we have in common here? Because we disagree on lots of things, but we also have lots of things in common. And it's like, how do we search for that?
I have curiosity on the right.
Yeah.
Like, how would searching for common ground help us have better conversations?
Well, because sometimes we go, oh, they're a parent. Oh, they're a Christian. Oh, that's a common ground, right? So how do we use that to have a conversation around an important topic, even around something like politics, you know. So you're like, okay, they're a parent and they're passionate about this piece of it because they're a parent. I'm a parent too, and I care about this thing. Or because I'm a Christian and love is my driver, right? Then I'm going to care. Well, it should be our driver. That I'm going to care about someone else's perspective. I want to learn from them. And humility is required in these kinds of conversations because you're like, I don't have all the answers. Maybe I can learn something from them. Maybe they have years of hard-fought wisdom.
When you were going to the Finding Common Ground, my mind flashed back to a moment where you actually helped me with something to make this even just practical. Okay. My husband and I were in a season where we could not see eye to eye. And boy, did I want to avoid those conversations. But you, in helping me find common ground, you said this one phrase of put the problem on the table. Do you remember that? You said, put the problem on the table. And you can even unpack that more for our listeners. But you also told me, remember, you both want the same things in terms of our parenting. That's what we were arguing about. Yes. We were both for the kids. So we had to put the problem the way we were seeing it on the table. I think that is such a great coaching thing that you gave me. Would you share that with our listeners?
Yes. So this is a really practical skill, and I love it because I've seen it help so many people. And that is, even write it on a piece of paper and stick it in the middle of the table and say, this is the problem, and we're going to tackle this from our unique points of view and come together and help each other. Look at all of the different possibilities, all of the different problems within the problem. And so when you put it out there on the table, you're no longer fighting each other. You're looking at the problem, trying to help solve the problem instead of looking at the other person as the enemy or they don't have the right thinking or those kinds of things. And so this is such a helpful tool.
And that is a form of the common ground, right? Because we would then be tackling the problem as our common ground. Because if not, we're left fighting each other. I mean,
right. You're just invested in the fight and who's right and who's wrong.
And I think that, I mean, that'll preach. How often when we're preparing for a conversation, are we focused on being right?
And that's why I was saying wanting to be understood. So that being right is like, no, I want you to see that I'm smart, that I have value, that I have. So we go in kind of defending our thoughts and our beliefs because we so desperately want to be understood and validated.
And so you're saying there needs to be a shift here before we ever enter the conversation. And if you were to sum up the few things right there, what should we be thinking about before we ever walk into the conversation?
Oh, good question. So there is a heart posture that has to shift. And that is, do I care about the other person and this relationship? Whatever it is, whether it's home, work, whatever. And am I more invested in being understood or understanding them or the problem?
Talk to us a little bit about some of the practical strategies that we're going to need to have a solid, healthy conversation.
Okay. So questions is a big thing. The more you can have questions, the more you're going to draw out what somebody else is thinking and what somebody else is feeling. And so that active listening, a lot of times we're waiting with bated breath to say our part. Active listening is key. And when I say active listening, I'm not just talking about, oh, and this is what happened with me. You know, you're shifting it. So if we're curious and we're actively listening, somebody says something, you're like, well, what do you mean by that? Let me understand that better. Are you saying this? See how I'm then present with you in that conversation rather than just waiting to give my information or my side. That is critical.
Do you think part of the issue is that we aren't planning for these conversations and instead we're just immediately being hijacked by our emotion and thrown into them?
Oh, so often, so often. And so we need to get better at putting a pause when we get hijacked, when our emotions get hijacked, when we get triggered. Just say, whoa, I need to take a breath. I have gotten off track, or I'm feeling defensive. And you own it. And you just say, this isn't the best way for us to have this conversation.
And the key is you're focusing on yourself. You're not, you're not bringing accusation in that, right? I am feeling this way. I need to tap the brakes for a minute.
Yes.
So let's talk about some other practical strategies. So you're saying active listening. We know the way that we need to be thinking to find that common ground, curiosity. And what else do we need?
One of the key things is if I offended somebody else, I own it. And what by that I mean, like if I know that I said something mean, rude, passive aggressive, whatever the case may be, and they bring it to my attention or God brings it to my attention, I just get honest and I say, you know what, I blew it. You're not imagining this. I got defensive, but I offend, I own it.
Why are we so hesitant to own our stuff?
I think it's a lack of humility. But then other times we're just afraid of how they're going to perceive us. But Jesus honors humility. It really goes a long way in healing. It goes a long way in helping build a stronger foundation for relationships. Contrary to what we believe. Here's another key thing. If they offended us, they may not even know. And so we need to go to them and we need to say, hey, this offended me or this hurt. We need to be brave enough. We need to care about the relationship enough to bring it to them. Because a lot of times they may have said something and they're moving on and they don't even realize it. And so bringing that instead of just pretending like it's not there and letting it build up like we talked about earlier, and letting it grow into something that it's not. Because sometimes you're like, hey, what did you mean by that? Or when you said this, what were you thinking? Or what did you want me to understand? Because, man, I got sideways over that. And I'm going to do a word of caution here. Don't go to other people about it. Go to them. A lot of times we go and talk to other people about what somebody else did instead of going directly to the source. And I do think that there is a point where we get wise counsel and we say, hey, I'm stuck in my own head about this and I can't see it clearly. So I need someone else's perspective to help me see where I am off track. It's just oftentimes we're going to other people that can't be part of the solution. And so if they can't be part of the solution in helping you have the conversation, talk to the person as often as you possibly can.
Do you think that in the health of our relationships, whether it's a friendship, a marriage, do you think that people are aware that it boils down to conversations or conversations that they might be avoiding? Or do you think that by nature, people just completely are disconnected from conversations being the meat of it?
I think that we pay it lip service a lot because everybody says the way to have stronger relationships is to have good communication. And so sometimes we're missing that it means having the hard, uncomfortable conversation. I think it's more of a forgetting or the fears that we talked about or all of those things come into play. But I think that we know that good communication is the key to strong, healthy relationships.
So whether you call it communication or conversations, either way, this is the ticket. I'm curious about, you know, quickly before, I'd love to hear a little bit on your personal journey with having better conversations, but are there types of things that might tell us a conversation is not worth having?
So if you've tried in the past and you never get to any resolve, because the other person is not in a place that they either want to resolve it or are able to resolve it at this point, then that's a time that it's like, use your energy someplace else. some people are not safe. They literally have been violent. They have been abusive. They have been, they turn it back on you at every single turn. And that's when it's helpful to get that outside counsel, just to see, are they safe to have a conversation with? Are they safe to grow a relationship with?
And what if they're not?
Well, I do have someone in my life that is not safe to have any kind of relationship with. And it's my dad. And I'm going to name that because there was all kinds of abuse. And every time that I attempted to restore and all of that, it did not go well. And he could not own his part and expected me to do all the work. Hmm. And I'm talking about, you know, some significant abuse. And so, yeah, I do not have a relationship with him. And I do not have 1 ounce of conviction that I should, because he's not a safe person. And likewise, some of you may have had a spouse. Some of you may have had a parent, a boss, a friend that, you know, is no longer safe because you have tried everything in your effort to repair, restore, build a relationship, bring honest truth, in love, in respect, all of those things, and it didn't work. And that's when sometimes it's okay. I mean, to say, Jesus, even wipe the dust off your shoes and move on.
Yeah.
Right?
And I thought it was important to bring that up today, because often what can happen is I see people regularly, and I've been there myself, where we're almost doing the phrase of like beating a dead horse, right? We're trying to work on how to have better conversations, better communication, a healthier relationship with someone who's not engaged in that process. And so for the listener out there that you know exactly that we're talking to you right now, please know that all of our tips today, the practical strategies that we're trying to give you, and we're giving you these because here on the Next Faith-Filled Step, we're focused on the forward-moving life as pilgrims on a journey, and that boils down to one day, one moment, but one decision at a time. And so this is an important topic, but we're talking about relationships that are already can move towards health, relationships that can have better conversations. And you may need wise counsel in your life that can help you establish whether the person you keep working with is safe or not. What about when a conversation goes off the rails? You work really hard, you plan it, you walk into it, you come in with the best intentions, but it goes off the rails and immediately the other person gets really defensive. What do we do?
Yeah. So one of the things that's super important is to stop and clarify. Like, hey, maybe it's a word. This happens so much. Like, we have one word that we both have a definition to. This is a classic example, and it triggers us or it triggers them. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I see that we got off track here. Is there something that I said that triggered you or upset you or whatever word you want to use? And sometimes it's like, well, when you said that word, well, what does that word mean to you? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is what it means to me. Let's talk about that.
And that's where you're talking about bringing clarity to what you meant.
Yes. So you clarify the meaning of the word or even a facial expression. So sometimes the person has a facial expression or you do. And I have this little thing that I do sometimes to my poor husband. And that is I'll give this little laugh. And he says that it's my laugh that says you're stupid. Right? I'm not intending that. It just comes out of me. Now, if I'm honest, there's sometimes that laugh does mean that, unfortunately. And that lack of respect sends us into an argument, right?
Right.
But sometimes it's my own discomfort over what's been said.
Like a little nervous giggle.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's like, oh, you totally misunderstood me. That's not what I meant at all. And so sometimes it can have multiple meanings. So if he is to stop and say, what's that about? Instead of just immediately getting upset, then we can stay in conversation with one another.
Yeah, when you were saying that, for me, it's a squinty face. If I am confused, or am I trying to get us back on the rails in my, you know, trying to move to questions instead of accusations, yeah. I will have this squinty face. But that face says to my husband, you're stupid. Or what you have to say is not worth saying. Like, this is ridiculous. And so I can see how this stop and clarify would be important and keep the conversation headed in the direction. So it goes back to what you were asking us to do, is to seek to understand people and to apply curiosity.
Yes.
So tell us, where has this played out in your own life? I mean, what I know that you have had quite a journey with conversations. You're not sitting here today as somebody who just, you know, popped out of the womb having healthy communication and healthy conversations, but
this is so true.
What helped you break through your fear or avoidance in conversations, and how do they look now?
So honestly, I read a business book actually that really helped me learn how to have healthier conversations, called Crucial Conversations, and I tell everybody about it because it's been so helpful to me. A couple of the writers are Christians. And so they get, you know, even how Jesus wanted us to do this. But one of the key things in there that really helped me was this whole idea of trying it again. And this has actually saved my marriage. We would get off on the wrong foot. We would misunderstand each other. And so a classic time that this happened. So my husband walks in after work and the kids, you know, things were chaotic and I was not ready for dinner or any of that kind of stuff, not even close. And he said, so what have you been doing all day? Oh my, I was like off to the races, you know, in my mind and in my heart. And I just wanted to lash back at him. But instead, we've been learning this skill. And I said, whoa, I need you to step outside the door, literally, and try that again. He's like, oh, okay. And he stepped outside the door and rethought how he was going to approach us. And I did too. And it gave us that chance to start again. Mm. And so he walks in. He's like, hey, how are you guys doing today? You know, that kind of thing. And we saved ourselves a massive argument.
Yeah.
Both of us cooperating with each other. And so sometimes when we get off on the wrong foot, it doesn't matter if it's in a friendship, at work, or whatever. It's just like, hey, wait, can we just try that again?
Yeah, because sometimes this is just checking our stories, right? Like your husband walks in and sees one dynamic. He's just walking in, what you do today? And you're seeing another dynamic. And we tell ourselves stories about what that person means.
Yes.
And I mean, it gets us in trouble. And I hear for you, it saved your marriage. And I would say, you know, me too. And listeners, I want you to know, Tammy and I, in one short time, literally, our hope is that we could be a catalyst to you having healthier relationships, better conversations, to you just maybe asking God. But we can't really do this in a 1:30 to 45 minute session.
Right.
But I would love us to see, where do we see this in Scripture, Tammy?
Man, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the woman at the well. So this girl is out there. Why is she out there? She is out there because she is an outcast, right? She is rejected by her community. She is full of shame. She is out there in the middle of the day so that no one else is there, so that she doesn't have to deal with all of the other people's opinions and all that kind of stuff. And guess what? Jesus went looking for her to have a conversation with her. She doesn't know this, but he makes a simple request, and boy, is she offended. At least that's what it looks like in Scripture to me. She is just like, what? You think that I'm, you know, out here to serve you? And then why are you even talking to me? I'm out here in the middle of the day trying to mind my own business. And now all of a sudden you're asking me to get you some water. Can't you get that yourself? And Jesus is patient. He is, he says, oh, let me address you right where you're at right now. And then just gives her some truth and lets her sit with it. And then she's like, oh, okay, let me readjust myself just a little bit. And he talks to her a little bit more. And then she softens a little bit more. And he does it where he is meeting her where she's at. But then the very next thing we see is he starts driving for the heart. He wants her to feel seen and heard and known in that moment. So he's modeling this for us. And he drives for the heart and he says some really hard things to her. He asks her a question first. Where's your husband? And she's like, well, I don't have a husband. And then he says the hard truth. You're right. You don't have a husband right now. And you've had five others. I know you. I see you. She doesn't act offended. For some reason, he has built enough safety, even in that conversation, that she is feeling seen and understood. And now he provides some hope for her. So he models even speaking that hard, uncomfortable truth, but in a way that doesn't shame, that shows her respect and value, and then offers a path forward. And she walks away from that conversation feeling free, feeling seen.
Yeah, she's
even
like,
to the point she's running through the town going, he told me everything I ever did.
Yeah, that's where my mind went. It's like, right? What would normally be offensive,
yeah,
because of his intentionality in that conversation with applying exactly what you talked about, curiosity, even though he already knew the answers.
Yep.
He applied the curiosity, which makes me think, I once had a coach say to me that if I say it, it's a lie. If they see it, it's the truth.
Ooh.
Right. This is the value of us asking questions, because otherwise I'm talking at you. But, he applies the curiosity to this woman.
Yes.
And that enables him to speak a hard truth. And once that happens, she doesn't even care what he said to her because it liberated her. Yes. And that is what is possible. And he models this for us. And it's not the only place. I mean, you could bring up.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus was always asking questions. Always.
Always.
In fact, always. I give you that challenge, listener. Go through scripture. Start looking at Jesus's life and note all of the questions that he asked.
I actually did this several years ago.
Did you?
And I went through the Gospels and I just circled every single time he's asking a question. You know that he asks questions way more than he ever just makes a statement? I mean, he is a question guy.
The one who has all the answers, go figure.
Yeah, and they're not just baited questions, because we can do that too, right?
Right.
We have a certain answer that we want, but a curious, like, no, tell me what you really think and what you really feel.
That's so beautiful. So what do we stand to gain on the other side of a brave conversation?
Oh, I think restored relationship. I think intimacy. And when I say intimacy, I'm talking about feeling and knowing that you're known, that you're respected, that you're understood. And it just grows the trust. And it grows the strength of any relationship.
And it seems to me that it takes time to get to the place of intimacy. I like how you use the word build intimacy. You didn't say the fruit is immediate intimacy or immediate. I go back to the wall you described that we were building, one brick at a time. If it took one brick at a time to build it, well, chances are.
Yep. Yep.
It might take one brick at a time to move towards that intimacy. Yeah. So this is a practice. Well, in closing, if you could encourage someone listening to just take one faith-filled step toward a healthier relationship this week, what would it be?
Oh, can I only choose one? Active listening. If you do nothing else, active listening, start being curious and really listening to the person that's in front of you. And I promise you, if you begin to do that, it is going to grow your relationship.
Well, Tammy, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us, pouring into our audience. We appreciate that what God has worked in your life, your Redeemer has redeemed your relationships. Yes. We appreciate you sowing that into us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Well, thanks for listening to the next Faith-Filled Step right here on Pilgrim Radio. This week, look for one way to respond to what God is revealing in your life. One day, one moment, one decision at a time.